Hey everyone, today's passage is from Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. I give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I struck you with blight and mildew, your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees the locust devoured. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses. And I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind, and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. All right, so the subheading in my ESV Bible here calls this section Israel Has Not Returned to the Lord. And I think that pretty much summarizes this passage. In these verses, God goes through a number of difficult circumstances, famine, drought, and sickness. And he shows how despite all that the Israelites faced, they still stubbornly remained apart from God and chose not to return to him. Instead of turning to God in their time of need, and you can imagine if you're going through famine or a drought or sickness that they are in need, instead of turning to God in that time, they chose not to go to God and presumably chose instead to stick with the way that they had been living. And because of that, God is saying that he will punish his people. Now, a natural question that might come up as we read a passage like this is, why does God cause suffering and pain? And that question comes up likely because of the language that's used here. God says, I withheld the rain. I struck you with blight and mildew. I sent among you a pestilence. So it seems quite clear that God is the one performing these acts. And so again, the question might be, why does he do this? Why does he cause this suffering and pain? That doesn't seem fair or good. And we could obviously spend a lot of time talking about this. But to put it simply, God has a greater purpose here, and out of his sovereignty and great wisdom, he's permitting pain and suffering. Now, as we've been talking about these last few days, the Israelites were living life apart from God. They were completely ignoring him and doing as they pleased. They were worshiping idols. They were, you know, not offering to God what he was deserved. They weren't even looking to him in this time of need. And the thing is, this isn't just about living a certain lifestyle. You know, it's not just saying that they're choosing to live this one way, you know, it's just this kind of thing that's that they're doing. But, you know, a life apart from God leads to death and destruction, while a life with God is one of life and fulfillment. I don't even mean that just about this lifetime, but a life with God, life without him, I should say, leads to eternal death and destruction. Whereas a life with him leads to eternal life and fulfillment. And so the Israelites were on the wrong path, essentially, and God was trying to help them to see that. You know, these things that God was allowing to happen, again, the famine, the drought, the sickness, these were sort of wake-up calls. And, you know, these sorts of wake-up calls don't always need to come in the form of suffering. So this doesn't mean that every form of pain or difficulty or tragedy that one might face is God's way of trying to get your attention. I think that would be much too simplistic. It wouldn't be accurate to say that. At the same time, these sorts of things can be a wake-up call from God. C.S. Lewis writes in his book, The Problem of Pain, that, quote, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You see, pain and difficulty are often God's way of trying to get our attention. They're sort of like the flashing lights and warning signs on the road that show you, that indicate that you're headed in the wrong way. It's often God's way of saying, hey, come back to me. Come to me and receive life. Come to me. Now, of course, none of this is meant to minimize the hurt that comes with suffering. It's not to minimize the things that people will go through and feel in these times. It's not to say that we should be indifferent towards pain, whether that's our own pain or that of others. Because after all, it's not always clear whether something that happens is God permitting it or simply due to the presence of evil in the world. Regardless of what the pain is, pain needs tending to. And the way to best attend to and address the pain is actually to turn to God. And in essence, that's what verse 13, I believe, is saying. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. You know, God is the one who is in control of all things. God is the one who is able to do all things. And he desires for all to know and recognize him because that will lead to life. So these kinds of opportunities, again, not all of them necessarily mean that this is what God is doing, but they are often a means by which God is trying to get our attention, saying, come to me, recognize who I am, return to me. For those of us listening this morning, I just want to ask a couple questions. You know, are you suffering or going through a season of hardship? And if so, I want to encourage you, turn to God today. Maybe this thing that you're going through is a way, God's way of getting your attention, and or maybe it's not, but either way, let's look to the Lord, receive his good and loving presence and his provision. And the next question I want to ask is that even if you are not going through suffering or a season of hardship, are you able to see the hardship that is happening around you and join what God is doing? And even if you're not going through any particular hardship, I think it's pretty clear that brokenness and hurt and suffering exists in the world around us. Let's join in God's work in leading people to him so that they're mending the hurt, that people would be healed, and not only healed in this lifetime, but find life eternal in him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see how we can play a part in leading others to our Heavenly Father. So let me pray for us. Father, this question of the existence of pain and suffering in the world there's a lot of layers to this, and it's not very easily answered just in a short devotion like this, or even a short conversation. But Father, what we can see here in this passage is that you, Lord, were permitting these things to happen so that your people would return to you. Unfortunately, Lord, we see, as we talked about, that even despite all of these things, that Israel did not return to you. Even though you were trying to call them to get their attention, to point them back to you, Lord, they refused to return. Lord, I want to pray over our lives, God, that, again, not that every incident and not that every difficulty is a sign from you. We do want to be attentive to the ways in which you speak and return to you when you call us, Lord. I mean, Lord, we obviously don't want to stray from you at all, but when we do, Lord, help us to be aware, God, of what you're saying and to come back to you, Lord. And Lord, even if we ourselves are not going through things, so we pray for the world. We pray, Father, that we would recognize, God, that the world would recognize that their need for you, God, their need for a Savior, that they would turn to you. And Lord, show us as the church how we can be a part of leading people back to you, God. And so, Lord, this is a heavy word in a lot of ways, but Father, we want to just trust in you. Know that, God, that you are working, that your desire for people to come to you, God. And so, Lord, again, show us how we can be a part of that work. Thank you for this time today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.